The scripture this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This week we and my family celebrated the birthday of my daughter, my middle child. And as those days, when I come to those of you who are moms and dads, I think we all kind of reminisce back to that day and the happenings of that day. And that day was a kind of a different kind of a day. We lived in Los Angeles area, and she was born at Harbor General Hospital, which is close to the San Pedro Harbor. And so that night, my parents were visiting, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, there was this loud boom, and the hospital shook, and everybody looked at each other. Of course, California, we're thinking, earthquake? But earthquakes don't bang like that. Well, it turned out that a ship that was filling with gas in the harbor, which wasn't too far from the hospital, blew up. And so that was the explosion. And so all night long, they were calling for Italian interpreters. I remember not sleeping much that night. Well, my Libby, we always laugh, she came into the world with a bang, and she continues to be a bang. She does a lot of things in her life. But as I thought about that, too, I thought, well, I had to have a C-section. And that was because when my son was born, he was upside down, breech, and he also, I told him he caused trouble. You know, he was into making my life challenging from before birth because he also had the umbilical cord around his neck twice, not just once, twice. So I ended up with kind of a semi-emergency delivery with my first child, and that's with modern medicine. Well, this week was also the celebration of another birth, both on the same day, on the 17th, 85 years ago, and I got the okay to say this, 85 years ago, our Willa Van Gilder was also born. Now, 85 years ago, she was the sixth of seven children, and the house is still standing. She said she was born at the house at 613 Delaware Avenue. So kind of neat, I think, to have the house even still standing. But she said she wasn't sure why the first, third, and seventh children in the home were born in the hospital and the others at home. That's a question. But her brother Ralph, only lived a day and a half. That was medicine back then. It was harder for children, for survival rates for mother and child in those days. And so we look back and we think, well, those were years ago. You know, we've come along with medicine. So I was interested and looked online to see what the infant mortality rate is today. And the first headline on the internet that I saw, I can't remember which newspaper, said that our U.S. infant mortality rate was the same as Serbia and Malaysia, that we did not do well. And I thought, I think there's more to this. And so I went on and looked, and there was a Texas A&M study, and it talked about that news statistic, and they said that there's a difference in the way that we gather statistics, that really was not the reality, which I'm just a disclaimer. We do need to remember that when we read our news. No matter which side of the world, if you seem to lean on the liberal or the conservative, the statistics can be kind of read differently, no matter who it is. So I looked into it more, but you see, in the U.S., we have a lot of premature births that live. So we count all births, even if they're very premature and very, very tiny little infants, where in Serbia and Malaysia, they don't even count that as a birth. And so our U.S. infant mortality rate is not equal to Serbia and Malaysia. But in our country, even though we are better and have great medicine, there is a difference within our country racially and economically. I know there are places in Alabama where they don't even have a hospital. So if you have a premature birth, a woman would have a very difficult time getting to a place where that baby can be saved. Also interesting in that study, I love to watch the program called The Midwife. And as I watched that, I thought, wow, I wonder why we in the U.S. don't have nurses coming out to the home and doing home visits. It just seemed like such a good support system. And that Texas A&M study did say that having visiting nurses is a way to keep those births and mothers and babies healthy after birth, before and after. West Virginia has a slightly higher death rate of infants than the U.S. We have one baby per 1,000 more than the U.S. average. The U.S. average is 5.9 infants don't make it through birth. In Virginia, it's 7 per 1,000 births. And so we look at that in this day of modern medicine. And then we look at this beautiful manger scene up here with a baby laying in a manger and all cozy in the stable and the animals around. But the reality is that was an ancient childbirth. And even if it were a good childbirth where she did not have to travel, and even if it was in a home, whatever the home would look like in those days, it was still very dangerous in those days to have a baby. And then you add the unsanitary conditions of a stable, the fact that she traveled, no prenatal vitamins, no doctor checkups, nutrition was not as good. The emotional part would have been very difficult. And so in those days, there was a low probability of a good outcome. And so we come to this passage this morning in Isaiah. And we've been going through Isaiah through the Advent season, talking about Isaiah's predictions. And then, of course, when we get to Matthew and Luke, it's Matthew and Luke looking back and saying, oh, that's what Isaiah was talking about. This is the outcome of Isaiah's prediction. But Isaiah was really talking at that time about a historical happening. Israel was being targeted by the Assyrians. We talked about that last week. Last week, the lectionary kind of mixed these passages up. Last week, we talked about how Assyria had already captured them and they were in exile. But in this passage, Assyria is coming after them. And Assyria was a superpower and Israel was a very small state. So Israel was feeling oppressed and battered, and Ahaz the king was very low feeling. And then on top of that, Assyria was connecting with the Ephraimites, and so he felt like they were not going to make it. And so if we move back a little bit before this passage in 7:2, it says, "When the house of David heard that Aram had allied itself with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind," visibly shaking. And so then God went to Isaiah and said, "Isaiah, I have a word for Ahaz. I want you to go to him. And I want to tell you a sign for hope for him." And so then we come to our passage where Isaiah tells Ahaz, "The country will make it. And the way that you know that the nation will make it is that the woman..." And they must have known who this woman was who was about to bear a child. "The woman is going to bear a child, and that child's name will be Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And so Ahaz is saying childbirth is going to be the sign of hope. Well, childbirth in those days was a sign of hope. If you had children, you had heirs. That meant your family would go on. Of course, if we don't have children, then the family name dies. And so they needed heirs. But in those days, they also needed a labor force. And children helped. They were born into the home and worked from the time they were little, which is not so unusual. There were years back when we had children that needed to work within the family. My mom was born into a farm family, and so people had large families because all of the children needed to work. I laugh, my cousins were born into a farm family also, and they had five in that family, but at my Uncle Oscar's funeral, my cousin, very amusing, because we all loved Uncle Oscar, we all loved him, but they talked about the crew of five that he had. And anything that happened, the five children, the crew of five had to go out and fix it or do it on the farm. So back in those days, back in ancient times, children were needed as a labor force within each household. The nation would only survive if children survived. You can't build a nation if the population is dying. And so he is saying childbirth is hope. Hope for families, hope for nations. And so my sign to you that the nation will make it is childbirth, the hope within childbirth. Well, as we were talking about, childbirth is not easy. And so when we think of the death rate and we think about the difficulty of childbirth, and then we think of hope, I wonder if Isaiah is also saying that hope is not easy. Yes, there is hope in childhood and childbirth, but it's not easy. God was giving them, that nation, a glimmer of hope, but saying that it's not promised that life will be easy. It's not promised that it will go well, but the nation needed to work for that hope. There is pain and there is hard work in childbirth. There is pain and there is hope. I mean, there is pain and there is work in hope also. Childbirth stretches the body. Hope often stretches us. It stretches us to do the right thing, to speak out when it's unpopular, to keep working when others have quit. Hope is Emmanuel. Hope is God with us. No matter what is happening in the world around us, no matter what is happening in our nation, hope is Emmanuel. But it's not just handed to us. We need to look to Jesus' life and see what that birth meant. When Jesus came to us as Emmanuel, he came to speak the right word, to say things in dangerous times, to stretch all of us to think beyond what is happening in our world to what needs to happen in our world. Childbirth is hard and dangerous and painful and stretches. But so is hope. But the end result is that glorious celebration that we will be coming to on Christmas morning when we remember that hope was birthed into the world. Hope is God with us. Let's bow for just a moment of meditation and prayer. God, we thank you that no matter what is going around us, that there is hope and that you are with us. Amen.